The news, the views, covering your teams. This is the Radio Verulam local football show from St Albans on 92.6 FM.
And once again, welcome and thank you for joining us on the local football show here on 92.6 FM and online at Radio Verulam. Another action-packed weekend of results for our local teams. And so on tonight's show, we bring you Johnny shares an update in regard to all our local teams' news, views, fixtures and results so far. Highlights and reaction from Ian Allison and Johnny Goddard as the Saints draw 1-1 against an impressive Chippenham Town side at Clarence Park on Saturday. We also bring you a match report between Colne Heath and Ware Reserves on Saturday, where our very own James Sharma reports. And Ollie brings us a match report from the game between Bellstone and Ware. Bellstone are flying high at the moment, and we managed to catch up with manager Aaron Lincoln. I speak with Nick Light from Fighting Fit Football, which is all about Parkinson's football team. And finally, as always, we have another football theme anthem of the week to share, so all will be revealed. So let's get cracking with tonight's show. Over to Johnny for the latest news, views, fixtures and results of all our local teams.
Thanks ever so much, Graham. We're going to start things off with St Albans City, who of course drew 1-1 with Chippenham Town. We're going to hear the reflection from Ian Anderson and a few match highlights right after this. Also at the weekend, Coney Heath were in action in the FA Cup at home. They were 1 down to Ware, but sadly a sending off and an injury to John Clements meant that they struggled really for the last sort of portion of that game and went down 4-0. In the end, we're going to hear a feedback and update from Ant Burns on how the season is going and sort of an insight into how they feel about things so far. London Colney were at home versus Aylesbury Vale Dynamos at the weekend, recording their second 1-0 win in a row, which is really, really good, moving them up the table. We'll tell you more about that in a second. Leverstock Green travelled down to North London and lost 3-2 to the new Salamis. Harpenden travelled over to Tring and drew 1-1, which was a good result there and maintains their place at the top of the table. And Leverstock Green also in the top echelons of the table. And London Colney moving into sixth position, which is absolutely fantastic for Jack Metcalfe's team. Moving things on to the Hearts Senior League, and a lot of interest in the Hearts Senior League. And St Albans City Reserves beat Glen Sports 3-2 in the Albury Cup, which is kind of like a league cup for the Hearts Senior League. Sandridge Rovers beat Royston Town Reserves 3-0, which is a brilliant result. Bellston, we're going to hear all about Bellston's game versus Hoddesdon Town Reserves. It was 1-1 at half time and they went on to win 4-1 overall, so a brilliant result there, and we're going to hear a report from that game a little bit later on. Now, looking ahead towards this forthcoming weekend, St Albans are in action. They travel down to Slough in the league, and Ian Anderson were hoping that they can sort of bounce back after the sad injury to Devontae Stanley, and we'll be, as I say, we'll hear how he thought the players coped with it last Saturday. Now, Coney Heath, they're on the road as well. They travel up to play against Barton Rovers. For London Colney, it's the FA Vars, and we've got a local derby as they host Leverstock Green, and you can get live coverage of that game, live online coverage of that game, this coming Saturday afternoon right here on Radio Verulam. Just go to www.radioverulam.com. In the league in the Spartans South Midlands Premier League, Harpenden are away versus Leighton and see if they can maintain their place at the top of the table. Moving things on to the Hearts Senior League, after the Albury Cup, back in action with league games. Coney Heath Reserves host Bellston, which is a good local derby, and that's down at the recreation ground at Coney Heath, and that is going to be an absolute stonker of a game. Sandridge Rovers are also at home versus Ware Sports down there at the Spencer Recreation Ground, and St Albans B are playing against Chipperfield Corinthian Reserves. So all the games this forthcoming weekend, an exciting fixture list in store, and we'll keep you up to date right here on Radio Verulam.
Thanks, Johnny. And moving on to the Saints, we're drawing 1-1 at Clarence Park on Saturday against Chippenham Town. Let's now get some match highlights and reaction from Ian Alisson and John Goddard. But it was been an emotional week listening into Ian Alisson regarding the horrific injury of a teammate and player in Devante Stanley. So he's wished well, and the club did a great thing where all the players for their warm-up wore a T-shirt. So let's listen to the highlights and then we'll hear them thoughts from Ian Alisson and Johnny Goddard.
This is the voice of local football.
Fantastic for the Saints. They've managed to get themselves reorganised, but they're still not out of the woods yet. This is chipping him on the left-hand side, trying to get round Banning for a cross. They does. Number three's on the full-back. Harper goes down, and it's a penalty to Chippenham Town. And that is that left-back, Vincent Harper, that was having a bit of a struggle with Romeo Akinola there. He just took on Banning, the right-back we were talking about. He just took him on, didn't go for the cross, kept running, took it to the byline, and Banny obviously went for the ball, took him down. It did look a blatant penalty, Paul, yeah. And the ref's given it.
If you take that back one phase, Banny in fact did well by holding up the play here, but then when he got attacked in the box, he was poor.
Giving him the ref, yeah. Blows, he goes to shoot, what's he going to do? Oh, and he goes to the right, of MJ's net, who goes to the left, and that is Chippenham Town 1, St Albans City 0, yeah. And that's after about 22 minutes of this first half at Clarence Park, and yeah, that's disappointing. That was just a brilliant phase of attack play from Chippenham. The fans cry for a penalty, but this is Banny and Karen Wilson trying to play a 1-2 round the back to get behind this full-back. Banny does, he crosses it in, so Jeffers goes down, he comes to Mitchell Fleiss, he shoots and he's gone wide because the defender got his foot to it. It looked like it was going in, Paul. It is a corner for the Saints, but wow, what an opportunity for the Saints to equalise. Defender got his foot.
That was good play.
It's looking like it's not going to be. Tom steps over, Romeo Akinola shoots, and the goalkeeper just gets down to his left-hand post, and that was a good free kick, Paul. Turns, he's got the ball, he's looking for some support. Kyron Wilshire's there. What can Kyron do? He just sort of dances around one marked opponent, Alex Lancashire. Lovely ball to Kyron. Kyron's still into plays, onside. He plays it back to Alex Lancashire. He crosses the ball, and Akinola comes in. He misses, Sean Jeffers goes down. It's a penalty to St Albans City.
Yeah.
Oh, that's excellent, Paul. What happened was the beautiful play by Kyron Wilshire, Alex Lancashire. They eventually got a cross in. Akinola misfooted it, went down. Sean managed to gather, picked it up. He left his foot in there. The defender took it. The ref hesitated. I think the line assistant put the flag up. But it is a penalty, Paul. We'll wait to see what happens. Yeah, the ref's not given any cards, but what an opportunity. He was dancing around. Keep your head, Sean. Can he make this 1-1 for the Saints? He steps up. He goes. He shoots. And it's a goal. The goalkeeper got his hand to it. It's in off the post. It is St Albans City 1, Chippenham Town 1. Sean Jeffers goes to celebrate with the York Road End faithful. And all the players go and congratulate. And I'll tell you what was great there, Paul. Romeo Akinola gets the ball. The Saints are up for this. They sent something. Stearns off, who was one of their better players, if not
their
best player.
Yeah.
Ian, 1-1 draw down at Clarence Park. Could have been more. Initial reaction?
I think we've got to be happy in the end getting the draw. It's been a tough week, Graham. In more ways than one, it's been a very, very tough week. And it was difficult to know how the players were going to react. And I felt we were a little bit slow and a little bit quiet in when we started the game. We give a really silly penalty away, which then puts us a little bit on our heels. But I felt we reacted really well in the second half, and the players, and Johnny will tell you this, they're out on their feet in there today. It's Tom, I think they all agreed it's been a really tough week for everybody, as I say. And I'm just pleased to come off with a result. I'm pleased for the players, because these players have been outstanding this week, the way they've behaved and the way they've come together for a teammate. I'm devastated for Devonte. It's emotionally, it's been a really tough week from that side of it.
And I could see that as well, Ian, when it was a brilliant, brilliant moment to see all the players come out with a T-shirt with Stanley on the back, number two, just to show that togetherness. And we felt that when we saw some of the challenges going in, how emotive that came from the Saints bench, where that's when we started thinking commentary that it must have been a tough, tough week, but you've still come out, you've performed. Could have been more, but you got the point.
Yeah, I mean, we have to. We're footballers. I'm football managers. This is my 32nd year as a manager, and I have to say, with what's gone on this week, that's been the toughest week of my managerial career. it's tested me physically, mentally, and emotionally. And you know, you've got to look back at the end of it and say, I'm happy with today. I'm happy. I'm pleased. I'm pleased for my staff. I'm pleased for the players. Really pleased for the players because they've been outstanding. I'm pleased for the supporters. I'm pleased for the club because, as I say, it's been a really tough week, and it's one of them weeks that you wouldn't really want to face too many times. And as I say, dealing with what I'm about to deal with this week in terms of Devonti and what he's been through, it's been very, very tough, I must say.
Brilliant. Thanks for sharing, Ian. And Johnny, let's bring you in on this point then. So obviously you've had your teammate there have a bit of a horrific injury last week. You've got on the pitch. How did it feel from your perspective that first 20 minutes following from what Ian said?
Yeah, it was slow. It was hard to get going, really. And we were saying, a lot's gone on off the pitch this week. And personally, I was ready for the game, but you know, we're just saying it has an effect. You know, until you get out there, you don't realise it. But I think the character of the group was shown in the second half. It would have been easy for us to have excuses this week and look at other things, but the character of the boys has turned it around. It felt to me like if the game went on for another 10 minutes, you know, there was a winning goal in it. And yeah, like the gaffer said, everyone's put everything into that because it's been a tiring week, you know. But the character of the boys probably earned us a point today, in fairness. So that's really encouraging, you know, as we look forward.
And I was thinking that, Ian, from what Johnny's saying, I was thinking back to the Dartford game when there was some attacks later on, and I think there was one phase we saw 7 Saints players get back. And I was thinking you would have drilled that in, wouldn't you, to make sure, let's not concede, let's keep at least a point. Because obviously we were on the attack there, as Johnny says, last 5-10 minutes again, it looked like the Saints were going to score if there was going to be a goal.
From a personal point of view, I felt the game was too open in the last sort of 15-20 minutes, and but it was one of them that we turned into a bit of a basketball match. We had to. We were struggling to break them down at times. And once we changed our shape and changed our personnel in terms of bringing David De Gea on and going to a 3, I felt it allowed people to get into the game. Johnny certainly came into the game and started to pick up some lovely positions in pockets, and our ball retention was a lot better, and we got back in behind them and we started to create some chances. And you know, we've got to look at, you know, both penalties. Were they penalties? I would say they were both penalties, but until you actually look back at it, overall it was a tough game. And as I say, you know, I stand here now and I'm so pleased we've picked up a point. It would have been very, very difficult to pick up the players if a defeat had happened today. And it's a long week before next week, and you know, we've got to regroup again. We trained ever so well Thursday night in terms of where we are, as I say, and we've just got to take it forward now into the Slough game, and that's what where we are with it. It's going to, as I say, it's going to take a period of time to get over everything, but the most important thing at this time in my stage here in terms of where I feel is the point of stand is the most important thing at the moment, and we have to look after him. It's going to be a long, long road back for the boy, but we're all here behind him, we're all supporting him, and he'll get as much support as he needs to get over this horrific injury that he suffered.
Great to hear, Ian, and what a player as well, you know, just really enjoyed watching Devonti with his time at the Saints, and you're right, we all wish him well, and let's see where that takes us. Johnny, in regard to that number 10 role in that second half, last 20 minutes or so, is that the role you were sort of really finding some traction, considering you were moving quite a lot, and no doubt that was a tactical decision from Ian to keep moving that 3 to support Sean?
I think,
did you feel comfortable in that?
Look at the players we've got at the club with Mitch and Zane and Liam and Romeo. We're all quite interchangeable, we're quite flexible. So I think there's more of a responsibility for us players to go and solve the problems, you know. Sometimes the space is out wide, so we keep a bit more width. The space has opened up a little bit second half, but that was all down to hard work, really. You know, Sean Jeffers running in behind, Mitchell running in behind. So I'd say we're all flexible, which, you know, gives the manager great options and can hopefully cause some problems.
You're keeping Ian on his toes, aren't you, between the 3 of you, which is a lovely option.
It's lovely to have. I mean, as I said, you know, Sean's getting the goals and he's been fantastic. He gets his penalties, or we get the penalties, and he slots them in. But that's what football's all about. You know, as I've said to you, I think we've got a really, really exciting group here. A tough start with Dartford and Dorking. A little bit naive, whether it's from me, whether it's from the players. We were a little bit naive because we give silly goals away, and that really crucial part of the game. But we bounced back with Welling, we bounced back with Tonbridge until obviously the incident that happened. You know, and if the game had been finished then, we'd have been here on 7 points. Mm. We're not. We're here on 4 points. It's been a great start to the season. In terms of points, it hasn't been a great start, but in terms of our performances and in terms of what these players and my staff have been through, and as I said to you, we won't make excuses, and Johnny said it earlier, you know, we could have quite easily just lost that game today and made a lot of excuses. I'm happy that I can make the excuses now by getting a draw, and we could have won the game in the end. We've had a couple of chances late on, but we could have lost the game as well. So they're the things we've got to look at. We, you know, we mustn't turn football into a basketball game. Great for the supporters, not good for my heart. And you know, we've got to make sure that we see games out. We give a real poor penalty away today, and it gave them something to look after, and we've got to be bigger and better than that.
And when you've got a player like Johnny Goddard, who can just turn things on and create play, and what we noticed in commentary was when yourself and David Noble connected, there was space starting to create, right?
Yeah, and Nobby's great player. You know, we're lucky to have him. He's experienced. There's a lot of good players. You know, you look at Alex at left back, you know, young player. He's a real outlet going forward. So we've got options all over the pitch, and I've not been here very long, but, you know, I've linked up well with a lot of the boys, and a pleasure to play with when we play like that second half and against Welling. So, yeah, we've got lots to be positive about for the rest of the season. So, hopefully carry on.
Fantastic. And final message for the fans, Johnny?
Yeah, obviously it's been a tough week, and I know Dee's had a lot of messages of support, which says a lot about the club, you know. And like I said, since I've been here, everyone at the club's been so welcoming. Like we said, we've probably not got the points on the board that we'd have liked by now, but certainly from my point of view, I'm hopeful we'll have a really positive season.
Fantastic, and thanks for your time. And Ian, final thoughts for the fans? I know it's been a tough week for you, your staff and your players, but it's been very professional and commendable to see, get something out of today to then kick on and move on. Final thoughts?
I've said all along, I think the supporters this year have been outstanding. Over 1,000 again today, wasn't it? 900 last week, 1,000. So thank you for them. Please keep turning up. You know, we want to try and entertain. We want to try and play football. We want to make it exciting, and we want them behind us, and they've been superb in the three games we've had. As I say, we're just a little bit disappointed that we're not a little bit further where we need to be. But we need the supporters on our side. We need them to turn up. And if they keep doing that, hopefully they'll enjoy the football we play for the remainder of the season.
Thanks to Ian Allison there and Johnny Goddard in regards to post-match reaction, where the Saints drew 1-1 with Chippenham Town on Saturday. We'll be next down at Clarence Park on Saturday the 25th. So we'll be looking to see the Saints take on in the National League South fixture, Havant and Waterlooville. But we may be down sooner depending on the FA Cup draw and results. So moving on, still to come on tonight's show, we've got match report between Colney Heath and Ware Reserves, which went ahead on Saturday, and Jay Sharman reports on that. We also have reports from Ollie regarding Bellstone and Ware. And obviously Bellstone are flying at the moment, and we'll speak to their manager in Aaron Lincoln. And we also have Nick Light from Fighting Fit Football. And Nick will be taking us through and talking to us regarding Parkinson's football team. Don't forget, we've also got our football theme and anthem of the week. So we'll be back after these short messages.
Find us on social media
as RV Football
and on 92.6 FM from St Albans.
This is the voice of local football.
We're delighted to share that Jay Sharman went down to Colney Heath this Saturday, and he manages to catch up with Ant Burns after Colney Heath lost to Ware in the FA Cup prelim rounds.
I'm here at the overcast conditions at the Recreation Ground as Colney Heath FC take on Ware FC in this FA Cup qualifying round. The team's just about to kick off. Colney Heath looking to bounce back from that disappointing defeat to Harlow Town. Well, Ware buzzing with confidence after coming back from a man down and a goal down to beat Hertford Town. Looking forward to a cracking game this afternoon.
This is the voice of local football.
It's half time here at the Recreation Ground. It's Colney Heath 0, Ware 1. Colney Heath started the game brightly. Dan Fregno had the first shot of the match after 5 minutes as he supported John Clements up front in the absence of Jack Wood. John Clements himself thought he'd got through after Lewis Rose's poor clearance, only to be flagged offside. But then after 13 minutes, Pat Adamson crossed the ball into the box. Albert Adu headed it across for Lee Rose to have the simplest of finishes to put Ware 1-0 up. After that goal went in, Ware had a spell of possession where they put pressure on the Colney Heath goal. But Colney Heath gradually got back into the game and had a number of chances. On 33 minutes, Clements got through past Lewis Rose, but his shot was blocked by a covering defender. And then Dan Fragno was taken down a minute later just outside of the box, but the resulting free kick by Jack Green was hit into the wall. Then Lee Rose had a chance, great chance for Ware, but he dragged his shot wide before Dan Fragno was substituted on 39 minutes for Josh Foster. Then Albert Adu had a header cleared off the line, and then worryingly for Colney Heath, John Clements was feeling his hamstring as he chased down a ball up front. Hopefully he's okay for the second half, as Colney Heath will need him as they mount a comeback. It's only 1-0 down, so there's still everything to play for.
This is the Radio Verulam local football show.
It's finished Colney Heath 0, Ware 4 here at the Recreation Ground. Tough afternoon for Colney Heath, who went into half-time 1-0 down. They came out brightly. John Clements had an early chance, which was saved by the goalkeeper. But then Joe Ladbury got himself sent off, which changed the course of the game. After that, Taffy Scanderi, who was magnificent in the second half, took the ball on a counter-attack on a mazy run and scored an absolute cracker from just outside of the box. After that, there was a number of shots from Ware. Connor Sampson in the Colney Heath goal made a number of smart saves to keep the score down to 2-0. But eventually the pressure paid off. And from a corner, the ball pinged around the box and then was put in by Lewis Rose for the third goal for Ware. And then on the stroke of full time, another cross from Taffy Scanderi made its way through to Liam Hope to head in to make it 4-0 to Ware. Tough afternoon. Colney Heath will need to pick themselves up for the next game as their FA Cup run comes to an end for this year.
This is the Radio Verulam local football show.
I'm here with Ant Burns, assistant manager at Colney Heath. Ant, thanks for joining us. Tough afternoon. Your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, tough. Very good side, well drilled. You know, changed a few personnel today. I thought, you know, probably defending the hill, we did all right. You know, I thought defensively we were actually all right. I know they got the goal. Criticism there, probably a bit flat on our feet on the second ball and the knockdown, but apart from that, you know, quite a few positives to go in at half time. You know, we know what this hill can do for us and how we can get on top of teams.
What was said at half time?
It was all positive. You know, we kept it positive. A few of the players were trying to sort of a few criticisms, but at the end of the day, you know, from the coaching point of view, we kept it all positive. It wasn't a bad half. You know, we was fighting for the first and winning a lot of second balls, which is what we said. You know, we need to start winning more second balls at this level. So, and we did that. You know, but unfortunately, you know, 10 minutes in. Joe, you know, he's a great lad, but he knows he's done wrong. He's on a yellow. It's hard to see from over here, but I mean, he's had to give the ref a decision to make, and you know, he's given him a straight red off in the end. But you know, after that, it's really difficult, and they, you know, go and score a good second goal, good great finish, and then yeah, you're up against it for 30 minutes trying to nick something.
Yeah, it's a shame about the second sending off in the second half, yeah. Especially just before that, John had a chance, a one-on-one with the goalkeeper.
Yeah, he did. I think Clemmer would be the first one to sort of say he's probably a bit low on confidence at the moment. You know, I thought in the previous round when he scored from a very tight angle against Harlow, I thought that was it. You know, he's off and away. It's difficult because, you know, we haven't... Jack's missing today. We are struggling probably a little bit with someone on Reece Cameron, but obviously he's cup tied. So, you know, we need to create our own luck. We need to, you know, be on the move. I think there's still things we can do a lot better. I think the confidence is a little bit low, you know, when we're going forward. But yeah, we're just going to have to keep working on stuff. That's all we can do. You know, get back on the training pitch, work on stuff, work on what we feel we can make a big impact up for the following game. But yeah, goals change games, you know, and that second goal. I mean, even with 10 men, I think 1-0 down, I think we got the crowd behind us. We could probably get some momentum, but the second goal goes in. It just takes the complete wind out of everyone's sails.
Well, best of luck. Just to finish on a positive note, the youth team won the other day. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, brilliant. I mean, I weren't over there, but my brother was over there as a coach, and Gaz done a brilliant job. And, you know, spoke with their manager today. He said it's the best they've, you know, seen and played together collectively. You know, that's great going, being a Conference South, you know, youth team. So, look, there's positives there. You know, we'll always try and bring the youth through here because, you know, there ain't as much money here as there is at other clubs. Everyone knows that. So, you know, we'll always look at that when the time's right to bring in the youth players, and it's great to see him buzzing. So yeah, it's,
I think George Sibbetts will be knocking on the door after that four goals, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he's very good. He's very good finisher, very composed. Physically, probably just obviously a bit still young for him, but you know, we brought him up into the first team squad a few times. So yeah, I mean, look, it's great for him. It's great for his teammates as well. They can see that he's doing well, and there's a pathway there if it is there for them. You know, if they're good enough or old enough. So yeah, you know, when the time's right, we'll get him involved. But yeah, from a youth perspective, it's brilliant, you know, and that's what we love. You know, we're always bringing players through. So
that's great, Ant. Thanks very much, and good luck for the next game.
Cheers, mate.
This is the voice of local football.
Now we've got one of our other match reporters from Radio Verulam's local football show in Ollie. Ollie went down this Saturday to watch the Belstone versus Ware game in the Hart Aubrey Cup. So Ollie manages to take us through some highlights as well as speaking to the Belstone manager in Aaron Lincoln.
This afternoon's game is a 3 p.m. kickoff in the Aubrey Cup between Belstone, who are home, versus Heddersham Town Reserves. They both also play in the same league, which is the Senior Hearts County League. However, are both in contrasting positions, with Belstone top with 10 points and Heddersham Town Reserves in bottom. Slightly grey, the grass is green, the pitch is immaculate. There's a slight breeze, and we'll report the latest as the game goes on.
Find us on social media as RV Football.
In the first half of Belstone versus Heddersham Town Reserves, Belstone took an early lead, making it 1-0 in 6 minutes, following a brilliant run from the Twinkle Toes number 25 from Belstone on the left wing, cutting into the box, taking on two men and chopping it back down onto the byline and cutting a reverse pass across the 6-yard box, which was neatly tapped in into an open goal by their central striker number 9. In the 26th minute, Heddersham Town Reserves actually equalise to make it 1-1 in the Aubrey Cup and the first round, making it a much more entertaining and interesting game. After Belstone had dominated the first half up until that point, their defence seemed to have a lapse in concentration as there was a through ball played by the central midfielder of Heddersham Town through the defence, through the centre-backs in fact. And it was neatly and calmly slotted into the bottom right-hand corner by the striker. But in a one-on-one, the keeper was completely stranded, left defenceless. Following the equaliser, Belstone dropped off and retreated, becoming a lot more passive in their play. The first half result is 1-1 going into the second half.
The news, the views, covering your teams.
In the first round of the Aubrey Cup, between Belstone and Heddersham Town Reserves, it ends 4-1 to Belstone, who scored in the 60th minute from another assist from number 25, a player I highlighted already, and I'm sure the coach Aaron will too. He was exceptional today, the star man, as well as number 9, who scored a hat-trick, and his second came in the 60th minute, following number 25 collecting the ball in the centre of the Heddersham Town Reserves half. He played him through into the right wing and calmly finessed it into the near post. The keeper didn't even move. Their third goal came in the 68th minute, not too long after the second, making it 3-1 with a comfortable and solid lead over the visitors in the Aubrey Cup. It came from a brilliant pass from the outside of the boot of the midfielder of Belstone around the left-hand lane, but took it down majestically and sharply dispatched it, drilling it into the top right-hand corner. The fourth goal came late on in the half in the game, in the 90th minute. Only 3 minutes were added on after this, surely cementing their progression into the second round of the Aubrey Cup. The goal came from the centre of the pitch, a long, hopeful shot which caught the keeper out of position, too far off his goal line, and it lobbed him and nestled in the roof of the net. The final score today, this afternoon, is 4-1 to Belstone.
This is the voice of local football.
I'm here with Aaron Lincoln, the manager of Belstone Town, the victors of today's Aubrey Cup game. I'm just going to ask him a couple of questions. So, Aaron, how do you feel the boys responded, and what's your impression on the way they responded to that equaliser?
Yeah, it was a different kind of challenge today. I think that we didn't start well. We scored a goal, and that, fair play to them. Their league position isn't great. They showed great attitude and great spirit and managed to really impose themselves on us. It took us a bit of a time to wake up, and at half-time, we addressed a couple of things tactically, and I think we were stronger second half.
Was there anyone that stood out to you today, of course?
Well, Perry scored a hat-trick, didn't he? Anyone who scores a hat-trick, it's a really good thing. I think his finishing was top draw. Our goalkeeper, Connor, was outstanding today as well. Had a really good game.
So, obviously, today was a cup game. So, do you prepare any differently for a cup in comparison to a league game?
No, not really. We possibly would with a county cup game when we were playing against a different team. But we kind of knew what they were going to be like, and we just prepared to try and keep our unbeaten run going and keep playing the football we play and keep our identity.
What are your aspirations for the Orbs?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we want to be in the mix. You know, we feel that we've got a good team, and we feel that on our day we can beat anybody, and we just need to perform well. Today wasn't fantastic, but early stages of a cup, and we would like to get a run going if possible. I'm not even sure who we have next round, but it's just about us having our identity and playing well if we can.
So have there been any new additions to the squad this season rather than there were last season that could perhaps enhance your performances and even increase your league position this season?
Yeah, I think that not being in this level of football for a long time, one thing I learned this summer is no two seasons are the same. We lost a couple of players that went to play higher, and we brought a couple of players back that were playing higher. So we've got a different shape and a different identity slightly, but does it make us stronger? Yeah, we've got some players with really good ability and really are strong for any team at our level.
So just finally going into the league here, whilst we've got you, Aaron, do you have an aspiration for this season in the league, or are you going to play it ear by ear or game by game?
No, we're absolutely trying to get out of step 7 football to step 6. So we are absolutely trying to challenge for every tournament we're in. We feel we have a squad capable of that. We're just trying to play our best football and hoping that that gets us out of this division. And the ground and the club off the field are already preparing for step 6 and step 5 football as a big project. So it's important that on the field we do as well. So that's really important.
Finally, were there any areas of the game particularly, either time-wise or performance-wise, in areas such as the left or right wing today that you'd like to mention?
Yeah, well, our two wingers, Brad had a really good game. He's top goal scorer in the league with 6 goals. He didn't get a goal today, but he contributes by getting the teams on the back foot, which lets us play a bit more football in the middle of the park. It's just, it wasn't a great performance today, even though the scoreline was a good scoreline. I just think we dust ourselves down and get ready for next week's game.
You are listening to the Radio Verulam Local Football Show. From St Albans on 92.6 FM and online around the world, you are listening to the Radio Verulam Local Football Show.
Delighted to announce we've got another wonderful guest with us on Radio Verulam's Local Football Show. We have Nick Light, and Nick is going to take us through fighting fit through football, and we're going to talk a little bit about Parkinson's as well, and Nick's going to share with us all the wonderful work that he's been doing over the last couple of years in and around the local area. So, Nick, welcome to Radio Verulam's Local Football Show. How are you keeping?
Thank you. I'm good, thanks. Yeah, how are you?
Yeah, really good. And I'm looking forward to this because when I saw what was going on, I think it's a huge, huge, interesting area, and I'm delighted to learn more. So let's start first and foremost, if you could, Nick, let's talk a little bit about Parkinson's. Could you give us an insight of what is the disease, or what is it that, for those who don't know what it might be and what it might mean, could you give us a quick introduction from your perspective?
Sure. So from my personal perspective, I was diagnosed when I was 45. So that's 7 years ago now. And Parkinson's is effectively a deficiency of dopamine in the brain, which is one of the chemicals in the brain which help you move and walk and speak and do a lot of other things. And Parkinson's is when you have a deficiency in that, and the levels of both dopamine that's being created. So it can affect a lot of different things in a lot of different people. So, the symptoms are so varied. I couldn't list them all now, but the main ones for many people are stiffness and tremor and pain. And then there's also other things like depression and apathy and then the mental health issues it causes, and I think there are about 50 different symptoms. So it affects about, I think there's about 150,000 people in the UK with Parkinson's, recognized with Parkinson's. And the number is growing quite rapidly. It's understood to be one of the fastest growing neurological conditions that we have. Mm. So, yeah.
That's interesting. You connect that to the likes of mental health and depression, and that's because there's that chemical imbalance going on, I would have thought, isn't there? And from a point of view of why that occurs, have we got any research at this stage of how and why that's happening in the brain?
I mean, I think there's probably three reasons why it can occur. Because of the chemical imbalance, I'm no expert in why that's happening, but it does change the way your brain operates and how you can behave and feel. Then there's the medication as well that can affect you. Unfortunately, people don't realise the effects the medication have on you. And then the third reason is just having Parkinson's itself and the mood it can create and the feeling it gives you. So I would say, you know, if you can address, certainly you can try and address things like mood by doing exercise, that can really, really help, as I've established through fighting football.
And that is interesting, isn't it? So you've taken it upon yourself to maximise exercise, which can help, and you've created this club, if you like, this team, and you know, fighting fit football, which is amazing. And we'll get you to share your thinking behind that shortly. One of the things I noticed on your website was this is not a pub team, and I quite liked that. That was quite a nice insight to, you know, we're doing this for exercise and getting together to socialise. So tell us about why you decided to call it Fighting Fit. And you're thinking behind it all, setting it up a couple of years ago.
I mean, I did a lot of exercise when I was diagnosed. It's one of the first things I was sort of told I should do. But it's all very solitary, you know. It's I went to the gym a lot. You do it on your own, kind of thing. Cycling, you know, swimming, those sort of things. They're very much, you can cycle in groups, but you know, it's not necessarily a team sport. And so I'd always liked football. Never been particularly very good, but I always loved playing it. So I came around with the idea of, why don't I do a sociable exercise that's a team sport? And I've got kind of got an excuse to play, you know, I'll do any exercise if I can do it. And suddenly I thought, well, that's one way of doing it. And I was actually inspired by people who were, there's something called the Ray Kennedy Cup, which was happening out in Copenhagen at that time, which inspired me. And there were a bunch of guys from the UK who'd gone out there to play as well. So it was all sort of running in parallel with that, my thinking at the time. So yeah, decided to set a team up. I had no idea where I was going to go with it. I've never set a football team up, but you know, 18 months, 2 years later, I've got an FA affiliated team with about 18 players with Parkinson's who have registered with me and a few others that help out as well. So yeah, things have moved on.
That is incredible. And how have you found it? Are you playing on a weekly basis, a bi-weekly basis? I know you obviously play in a few different locations. How does that all pan out logistically?
Yeah, so we do actually play at the Watford Training Dome on a Monday evening. That's where we basically is our base. So that's at the moment every Monday. And then occasionally if we get to have an opportunity to have a competition or an event, you know, then that might be elsewhere. But our main place is at Watford Dome on a Monday evening at 8:15.
And I like also looking at your website. You've got a really helpful list of what happens within the hour and a half training session or play time, whatever you call it. And that's really useful, I would have thought, to reduce anybody's anxieties by joining a new group, which we all have, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think people recognize that it's hard enough joining in with a new exercise with a bunch of unknown people. But then if you've already got Parkinson's as well, and you know, you're not really sure, I just wanted to make it, how would I feel, you know, if I came to play football? And the point about pub football, you know, it's quite relevant because, you know, some of my enduring memories of football a little bit is the cold weather, the rough tackles and the tough attitude that can go with it. And sometimes I don't want any of that. I wanted low contact football. I wanted it to be ideally like we are in the Dale inside. You know, we're on an Astro pitch, which is absolutely like perfect playing condition you can ever imagine. So it's all fallen into place for us. So yeah, so low contact is very important, especially for people that are worried about playing. You know, people have balance issues, which is another, you know, I didn't mention that, but that's another common issue with Parkinson's. So yeah.
And you've even progressed and developed to, you've started doing walking football, is that right?
That's the plan, yeah. So actually this coming Monday of the 13th of September, we're having a launch event, which is a free event with an England walking football manager, Stuart Langworthy. So Stuart's the over 60s walking football manager, England manager, and he's a massive supporter of trying to create a Parkinson's only walking football, trying to generate interest nationally. And there's another person who works for WFA called Paul Nichols, who also is behind that drive. So we're I know both Stuart and Paul from various events we've held, and we're trying to generate interest. But this specifically is for trying to generate interest for Fighting Fit Football to have their own walking team. Because at the moment we play predominantly small-sided, but running 5-7-side football. And I think we could create more interest and get more people exercising, which is my real ultimate goal with Parkinson's, if we slowed it down. And having played walking football myself, I can entirely appreciate it's still, you know, it's a different type of game. You get a bit more time, to be honest, on the ball, and you don't feel like you can't tackle in the way you can in other football, and there's no running, and it kind of, you know, it's perfect for people with Parkinson's, and so very keen to promote that. Yeah.
So and so what you're trying to do, the walking football's of interest, but equally what you're trying to do as well is just make sure people are moving and exercising that cardiovascular, which can help, right?
Yeah. And walking football, you know, obviously with 5-7 aside, you know, you get out of puff within minutes. With walking football, it's still the same. You cover, you know, an immense amount of ground, but you play a different style of football, admittedly, in terms of your position on the pitch. You can't race up and down the pitch all the time in the way you potentially could do if you were playing five aside. But the idea is you still, you know, it will still create that aerobic burn you get from exercise.
Which is the key, no doubt. And so from a point of view of Fighting Fit Football, was that your sort of brainwave? Is that something that you came up with yourself? And if so, why did you go? I mean, it clearly makes sense when you read it. It says what it is, but why did you go down that path?
I mean, originally I was thinking about having a team for people with sort of maybe long term health conditions, because it would have a wider remit. But I was trying to think of a name that would summarise neatly what we tried to do, and I was actually coming back on the train from work, and that hit me just like that, and I was on the phone checking the domain name, and it was free, and I was like, right, I'm buying that. So, and you know, it just there was you know, I was just fortunate. I just had a little moment where it struck me as a good name. So yeah,
fantastic.
Summarizes where we are, really. Yeah, we're trying to be fit, but we're I don't like to talk about being, you know, we're not people being sufferers or people, you know, struggling or even being patients. So, you know, I think, as you know, we're all individuals at the end of the day, and I like to think of us as being, you know, capable of an awful lot within our own you know, restrictions, and we can make tiny steps which can make massive differences, and then evolve those steps. So
superb. And you've had to deal with a couple of lockdowns. How have you managed to keep all your members together through that?
Yeah, so it's been hard, but we've got a WhatsApp group which keeps the dialogue going outside of you know, when we're playing. I mean, I did a few challenges. I did a virtual walking event where I challenged people to walk to. We were preparing actually at the time for an event called the Sports Parkinson's Cup, which is part of Sports Parkinson's drive to get everyone exercising the Parkinson's. And I challenged everyone to walk to, virtually, obviously, using their Fitbits and stuff, to walk to Worcester and back. And I thought it might take us a week and a half, 2 days, two weeks or something like that. It took us 3 days. Mm-hmm. It was just, you know, so I just set little challenges like that. And there's a lot of dialogue, and friendships have grown from meeting guys, you know, who I should add quickly that women are absolutely in. I wish we had more women, but there are, you know, at the moment I only have men. So when I say guys, I would like to have more women involved, but the guys I currently have, you know, we've formed a very strong bond with our love of football, and also obviously common issues with Parkinson's. So, yeah.
And do you get much sponsorship exposure for what you're doing?
I at the moment I've not gone down that sponsorship path. I probably should think about it. I've actually most recently been applying for funding. There's a lot of funding out there since the opening up of football, following the lockdowns, to promote and grow sports teams like myself. And I've been successful with a few applications. So I've now got some financial money backing behind me to try and grow the team. And one of the things, as I said, is to try and create now a walking team. So, but I've always got ideas all the time at the moment. I'm trying to, you know, there are little pockets of teams scattered around the country who play football. We've got Parkinson's. There's a team in Liverpool called Northern Lights. There's another team, you know, in Wales and Yorkshire. And they're a little bit scattered around. And I'm always thinking about, well, what can we do? You know, we had the event in July, which was the Sports Parkinson's Cup. But this time I'm thinking, right, let's not wait a year. So I'm thinking events we can create. You know, who knows where it could take us, you know. So we're just trying to push the whole concept of playing football and exercise with Parkinson's forward. And if you do at a big event and you get people along, it generates a lot of interest.
Yeah, so, yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. Well, keep Radio Verulam involved, Nick, and let us keep us up to speed with what you're doing. And just a couple of things before we wrap up. One is, I know you said earlier that you used to play when you were younger football. Did you have any specific teams that you supported?
Well, I'm a Manchester United fan. That's right. Just my childhood, you know, from the, remember the FA Cups of the 1970s, that's where I'm from.
Yeah,
went from there. But I've got, my son and I have got a Watford season ticket. So we're also, you know, big fans of Watford. They're a true community club, in my opinion. And they've got my support every time. So, yeah.
Yeah, excellent to hear. And finally then, wrapping up, let's say that somebody's been listening in and they think, okay, I'd like to join this club. It looks and sounds awesome. Where can you signpost them, Nick? What do they need to do? And where can they go and check out further information? Because on what I've seen so far, it does look amazing. And, you know, it looks a very warm, welcoming club. And it's great to see.
Thank you. Yeah, I'd say we are a friendly and supportive bunch, and you know, we look out for each other. So, so if anyone's interested in learning more, taking part, the best place to find me is through the website, which is fightingfitfootball.co.uk. And I've also got Twitter and Facebook accounts as well. And so, if you know, they all can be contacted through those accounts as well. So we've got events on there listed every, and I was trying about two or three events, which are the weekly training and anything else coming up. And you can register through there. If you've got any questions, just contact me through the website. I understand if you know it's a nervous time for the first time. So once you come along, I'm sure you'll love it.
Yeah, superb. Fantastic, Nick. Well, thank you for your time. That's been really, really enjoyable to learn a little bit more about Parkinson's, learn a little bit more about what you set up and obviously what's going on now with your club and your membership, and long may that grow and continue. And we'll certainly love to have you back on Radio Verulam's local football show again in the future. So all the best for now.
Thank you, Graham.